In our preceding lesson, we were discussing from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, on the prayer of the Apostle Paul, a prayer for strength, a prayer for fellowship. You remember in chapter 1, we had Paul's prayer for knowledge, that we might know the call of God, that we might know the purpose of God, we might know the power of God. But now in chapter 3, he's dealing with this matter of the riches of his glory to meet the need of his people. And we were speaking in our lesson yesterday from chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 16, if I may be allowed to again read that verse, where Paul prays that he might grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell down in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to lay hold with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, in order that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. Let me just stop here for a few moments now this morning. As we take up this wonderful prayer of the Apostle Paul, we were dealing in verse 16. If I might again repeat this, he prayed that we might be made powerfully strong according to his riches in glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The place of action is in the inner man, where most of us are weak, and he's going to meet our needs according to his riches of glory. A life that is energized by his Spirit in the inner man. And now we come to the 17th verse, where he prays for intimate fellowship. You know, if I might just stop here before I pass along, I wish in some way you and I could revel more and more, not only in the riches of his grace, but also the riches of his glory. I feel that most of us fail to realize the tremendous relationship we have to Christ. None of us ought to be living on a carnal plane, fleshly plane. We ought to be living on a high plane, spiritual plane, where we can revel in the wonderful grace and the wonderful glory of God. Just to think that when Christ died on the cross, he completed a work of redemption. He made it possible for men and women, just like you and me, when we accept his Son as our Savior, to stand before God in all the merit and beauty and righteousness of Christ. These are the riches of his grace. And then to know that he meets my daily need. He cares for me. He loves me with an everlasting love. Not only so, but there's not a detail of my life but what he knows all about it. You know, I was just reading this morning a little excerpt from one of God's old saints, in which he said, God doesn't take us home by the quickest way. He takes us in a roundabout way until he perfects us in our daily experience. It seems to be in a maze. We seem to be going hither and yon. Yet God is just directing us. He wants us to be just like his Son. And when God gets through with you and God gets through with me, we're going to stand in his presence just like his Son. And time would fail me this morning to follow that line of thought through with the marvelous things that God has in store for his people. I tell you, my Christian friend, if we only could realize the tremendous relationship we have to God in Christ Jesus. If we could begin to realize the purpose of God, what is God going to do with you through eternity? Do you know? Do you know? Do you mean we're going to sit there and twing a harp? Not a bit of it. The Lord has some tremendous, some marvelous things for his people through eternity. If we only had eyes to see and hearts to appreciate it. In fact, I would say this again, too many of us are living like spiritual paupers when we ought to be living as the sons of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. To realize we are the children of one who is God, and the riches of his grace and the riches of his glory are for us. There's no need for you and me to live on a low plane, on a carnal plane. You and I should live on a high plane, reveling in the riches of his glory, knowing that there's not a moment of the day that he ever leaves us. There's not a moment of the day that he doesn't care for us. And all the riches of God's glory are your resources for your tests and trials and afflictions. It makes no difference how severe the test, how rough the path, how blurred the way seems to be. He's right there with you. Oh, my Christian friend, let me bring it to you this morning. There's never a moment that the Lord ever leaves you. You say, but I don't feel him. Whether you feel him or whether you don't feel him, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. One of the final words to his disciples on earth were, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he not only says that for those 11 apostles, but he said it for his people. Not only for them, but for those who should believe on him through their word. Right down to the present time, there never has been a moment that God has ever left you or me. The trouble is, we get so occupied with passing temporal things, we fail to realize the wonders of God's grace and God's glory for us. I wish in some way I could get this to your own heart. Only the Spirit of God can do it. Please don't live like a spiritual pauper today. Revel in the wonders of the glories of his grace and the riches of his glory. To be made powerfully strong according to his riches and glory. There's no limit to the resources which you have. No limit. So you can say with Paul, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can say with Paul, I strive according to the working of him who worketh in me mightily. Do you ever stop to realize it? That the one who burst the bands of the tomb, the one who put away your sins, the one who was exalted, the one who went to the very right hand of God to be given all authority in heaven and earth, is for you. It's for you. Do you ever stop to realize that when our Savior went back to heaven, the very angelic hosts cried out, who is this? Open up ye everlasting doors and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong, mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of hosts is for you. The King of Glory is for you. To be made strong according to his riches in glory. I hate to leave this one thought. Oh, that we Christians would know something of the riches of the glory. My. When I think of how most of us, we putter along and we strive and we set our wills and we set our jaws and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And the first thing you know, we're in failure. We're in defeat. Why? Because we're trusting ourselves. Listen, the riches of grace fit you for God's presence. That's a cause for glory. That's a cause for worship. That's a cause for praise and thanksgiving. Riches of mercy, unsearchable riches of Christ. But now, the riches of glory. All that God is, and I say this reverently, all that God is, all that Christ is today, the eternal sovereign God is for you. He's interested in you. In you. I remember a fellow saying to me one time, why, Mr. Mitchell, you talk as if the Lord really takes care of you personally. Well, I said, of course he does. Why, he hasn't got time for any one of us personally. His big job is taking care of the universe. Listen, you mean more to him than the whole material universe put together. Didn't Jesus say, the very hairs of your head are numbered? Didn't he say, not two sparrows are sold for a farthing? And yet not one of them falls to the ground without my heavenly Father knowing all about it. Are you not worth more than many sparrows? My friend, listen. You mean so much to God that Jesus gave his life for you to put away your sin. And on the ground of this wonderful, matchless, finished work of Christ, under the ground of the grace of God, He brings you into the presence of the Lord of glory, righteous, accepted, a child of God, and joint heir with Christ. And now, my present need. Oh, do you have needs today, Christian friend? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. This is what I want to get a hold of you. Now, I didn't intend to do this morning. I wanted to get on into verse 17. But for some reason or other, I just felt like talking again about this riches of glory. Why don't you look to him? Have you got a need today? Have you got a trial today? Are you weak today? Have you thrown your hands up and said, what's the use? Why don't you turn to him? The riches of an omnipotent God, the riches of glory, are for you today. That's why he says in Hebrews 4:16, let us come with boldness to the throne of grace, and there obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. That's why Paul said in verse 12, in speaking of our Savior, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him, to come right into the very presence of God. And it's just as near as can be the throne of God for you. Why don't you come? Talk to the Lord. Open your heart to the Lord. Talk to him. Let him talk to you through his word. And may this day be a wonderful day for you in the experience not only of the riches of his grace, but the riches of his glory. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.